Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
So here we go. Welcome to another edition of the Kings of Anglia Fan Social. It's me as ever, Ross, bringing you the thoughts from the KOA Army week in, week out. And, well, we saw our first win of the season against Forest Green on the weekend, of course, since we last recorded. And we've also been knocked out of the League Cup by good old Colchester. The old dogs of Luke Chambers and co knocked us out. And also, we saw some sexy stuff. Richard Keogh is now a Town player. I am joined by Debiton George. Good old Alex is back. And Steve Mellon, who I bumped in to at Forest Green Rovers, going to discuss all things Town. Let's go and get right into it and introduce George, who is making his debut. You may have seen his face around because he has made a few game day appearances as well. But George, welcome to the show. How are you doing, my friend? You're at Forest Green. How was that experience, my friend?
Well, I'm finally out of Forest Green. It took us about 5 hours to get out. First of all, thank you for having me on. This is great. You might have seen me on game day. I sort of feel like I've done all right as a substitute appearance, and now I've been drafted into the main team. So I'm pleased to be here. But yeah, Forest Green, what can you say about it? Other than the win, the whole day wasn't great. But listen, we did what we needed to do. We got the win. A nightmare getting there. I took the train and train cancellations, but that's why we love it. And I'll do it again. But yeah, I'm pleased we got the win. And that'll do for me. Thought we played all right. Nothing. I thought the atmosphere didn't really get going. I don't know whether it was the heat or, you know, when you've got those open top away ends, they don't always kick off like at Gillingham, for example. But yeah, got the job done. And I'll be interested to hear what other people thought, because I thought we just played all right. I didn't think it was amazing. Again, could have been more clinical, but I'm sure we'll go into that with the Colchester game later. But I'm pleased we got the win, and that'll do.
Indeed, my friend. And if you want to be like George, if you want to make your debut on the Fan Social, get in contact with me at Ross Media UK. It's always good to get some more voices and grow the KOA Army. And let's go right to Alex then, who has been part of the KOA Army for over a year now. He's always been a fine gentleman. I bumped into him in the home end of Forest Green, eating some food. Alex, how are you doing, my friend? And how was your experience of Forest Green?
I'm very well, mate. Thanks for having me. Having lived in New Zealand for a long time, this is the first time I've been able to go at the first two games of the season with Town. So it's been brilliant. I've absolutely loved that experience of being able to really go at the first two games, get a taste for the boys. I love every minute of it. My Forest Green experience was not great. My Saffron and Walden contacts got tickets for the home end because we couldn't get tickets for the away end. So we thought, well, we've still got to go. And one area to get a beer, one area to get some food. Middle of nowhere, took forever queuing. The staff couldn't serve me beer when I got there because they were underage. And they teased you with the beer before the game and said, we won't serve it till half time. I was just flabbergasted at how not built for football Forest Green was. Thank goodness we won. Nice pitch, a big lump in the middle. But yeah, it's part and parcel of being in League One, isn't it? And just so chuffed we won. And maybe we can go into that a little bit greater detail. But I'm not planning on going back there again. Fingers crossed we won't be in the same league season.
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of mixed reviews of the Forest Green first ever visit there. Because, it's nice scenery and all that. It's a nice part of the world. But, food and the queues and everything. And Steve, you're safe.
There was an outdoor bit with just three benches. And then this huge vacant space with no other benches. So they're like, here you go, I have three benches. And then the 800 other people, you just stand around and do what you like. It wasn't built. It's not ready. It's not finished. It's not done. Never again. Cheers, Ross.
Yes, mate. Definitely. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people got sunburned because there's not much cover there either. That was very interesting. And Steve, I bumped into you at Forest Green. Welcome back to the show. Of course, safe Southwest Town fans are loving it this season because there's so many teams down there. The first one was Forest Green Rovers. What's your experience of Forest Green Rovers?
Yeah, I feel a bit bad, to be honest, because I've spoken to a lot of mates who had very long journeys, very complicated journeys. I drove out of Bristol, went along the M4 one junction, drove through a couple of fields. Sorry, not through the fields, alongside the fields. And I was there. So parked in the primary school next to the stadium, the match day parking, well, match day parking. Their card machine wasn't working, so it was free. So I had a slightly different experience. But yeah, it felt like going to a pre-season friendly, didn't it? The size of the stadium, very small town. It was their first home League One game, wasn't it? And it wasn't sold out, I don't think. So it's not a football town in some senses. But yeah, as others have said, it's a good thing we won, because a lot of people had quite stressful days out. But I wasn't one of them.
No. Definitely not. Well, with Forest Green has been covered all bases on the main podcast and, you know, articles and stuff, but I want to quickly just get your quick snap thoughts on the game, actually, George. So quickly, just what was your main takeaways from the Forest Green Rovers win?
Well, I mean, I have to agree as well. It did just feel like a pre-season friendly. Everyone just felt like they were ticking over. I think the main thing I would say is that how well drilled we looked. I thought that we played the ball so well. But that concern of going 1-0 down and so nearly going 2-0 down, we've got to snap out of that. And without jumping ahead, I thought the same thing could have happened last night as well. Tuesday night, sorry. So, yeah, I think we're drilled, we're looking good. But, yeah, defensively, we need to tighten up when we concede. But, again, I can say that. But then they had that spell. But afterwards, there was nothing really that they did. So it's just game management a little bit, but I was happy enough, and there was plenty to build on. So,
indeed, and Alex, you were in the home end, so you probably weren't able to celebrate the goals too much. But it was good that we scored some goals, got the win on the board. What was your main takeaways from the game?
Yeah, they were great goals, weren't they? Fantastic, both brilliant finishes. It was a tight pitch. Difficult game. It's so early in the season. It's very difficult to judge. I agree with George. What is exciting is that we do seem to have patterns of play. There seems to be an identity that Kieran Kenner is trying to establish in how we play the game, playing out from the back, playing through the lines, being very patient in what we do, opening them up and stretching. So you can definitely see how we're trying to play. And I think that's exciting. Hey, look, when you go to Forest Green and scramble away and you're 2-0 up, I was very nervous in that second half, because that came from nowhere, the goal. And then their pressure came from nowhere. And suddenly, if it wasn't for Walton's incredible double save, I mean, that was absolutely brilliant. And a save in the first half as well. It could have been very different, but last 15 minutes was great. And I think we managed the pressure. Then last 15 minutes, we looked like we could score again. But again, it's just that situation where we're still not scoring enough goals. And I'm sure we'll talk about that later.
Indeed. And Steve, to sort of round off the Forest Green Rovers chat, a lot of Town fans at half-time were coming to me and going, Ross, it's not going to be 2.0 Cambridge, is it? It's not going to be Cambridge all over again, 2-0 up and cruising and all that jazz. And then Forest Green got a goal back and had a goal disallowed. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I think Alex is spot on in that the difference perhaps this season, although it's early days, is that we might be able to shut down situations like that. It didn't remind me of Cambridge, but it did remind me of Cheltenham away, where we were so in control, went 1-0 up. And at the time that Bon missed that sitter, I wasn't actually that bothered, because I thought, well, we've got so much possession, we're just going to win by 2 or 3 anyway. And then we literally soiled our pants when they got that goal back, and we just fell apart at Cheltenham because a big bloke launched some long throws into the box. Whereas on Saturday at Forest Green, now, they got the goal out of nowhere. Then they had the disallowed goal, and we're all looking at each other thinking, oh, it's not going to happen again, is it? But then, to be fair, even though we had 9 minutes of injury time, and a Paul Cook team would have conceded about 6 goals in 9 minutes of injury time, the subs came on and we just shut it down, which is comforting, really, to think that we perhaps have got a bit more of nous about us to close a game out.
Indeed. And yeah, George mentioned it, game management. We've got some game management now. Kieran McKenna can use those 9 minutes and decide we're not gonna blow this away. We're going to go and get the win, all 3 points. Happy days. Okay, then. Let's segue into maybe not a happy day, happy night at Portman Road. League Cup in town. Colchester, Luke Chambers and co, the old dogs coming in and yeah, rotation, same old story, knocked out in the first round. I wasn't there, but George, what's your thoughts overall? A disappointing defeat. I mean, knocked out of the cup. We'll talk about rotation as a set topic because that's always a massive topic going into this, but what's your thoughts overall on the defeat?
I was going to come on to game day afterwards, and I'm pleased I didn't because I needed to just get out of Ipswich then. It was one of those games. It just reminded me so much of every frailty we've had over the last few months where we're trying to score the perfect goal, trying to play perfect football all the time, and one mistake and you're done. And Steve or Alex, I'm not sure who just said, it could have happened to Forest Green. We're trying to play perfect football. We get caught once and we nearly get caught again. And yeah, we made Frank Noble look good, which worried me. But forgetting all of that, I thought that we absolutely dominated that first half an hour and should have been out of sight. And we're not clinical enough. And it concerns me. It genuinely does concern me because we've seen it before. But under McKenna, you do just have a little bit more optimism that he's the sort of man that will find an answer out of something. But listen, we need to vary up a little bit. We can't just keep trying to pass it in the net. And Forest Green was an example of that, where we have two really, really great finishes, and that's what you need. Yeah, but I wasn't a happy man coming out of the ground on Tuesday, because especially the way the Colchester fans acted. Well, I'm sure we'll go into that, but the way that game was set up and the way it was built, to lose in that manner as well. We've got a Colchester fan who I work with, and I said, I didn't feel like you lost to Ipswich, you lost to Rakeem Harper, because that's how it felt. You know, it was that one mistake, and that's it though, isn't it? You know, that's what teams do. They'll sit in, they'll wait for a mistake and they'll take it. And we can create 25 chances, but if we don't score, then another year of out in round one.
Yeah, it's the same theme, Alex, getting knocked out of the first round of the League Cup, Carabao Cup, Coca-Cola Cup, Carling Cup, whatever it's called nowadays. A disappointing night at Portman Road. You know, after winning our first game of the season, happy days, happy with the performance, Sam Morsey running the show. Then, yeah, Tuesday night at Portman Road wasn't a good night, was it? What's your thoughts overall on that?
Right, I'm going to do it quickly. I'm absolutely effing furious with Lerm Tuesday night. I am disgusted. I'm disgusted with the whole thing, and I'll rant through it quickly. 10 changes, too many. That's absolutely ridiculous. Winning is a habit. Football is about confidence. It's about getting on a run. It's about building momentum. This game was really important to Ipswich Town fans, the majority of us. This game was really important. Not that it was just Colchester, but that was important. But we don't win cup games. We have probably the worst record of cup wins of any side in the top three divisions. That's difficult to prove, but I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. We are dreadful in the cup competitions. To make 10 changes and then throw 10 players in and then lose against Colchester at home, we got it totally wrong. McKenna, after the game, we wanted to go through in the competition. No, really? Did we, Kieran? Oh, cheers for that. The performance was mixed. No, it wasn't. It wasn't good enough. We should have cut that team open. We were in utter and complete control, and it's a cup competition, so they sit on the edge after they've got something to hang on to. All teams that come to Portman Road sit on the edge of the box if they've got something to hang on to. It's not a difference that it's a cup competition. That happens in every time we go 1-0 down at home. They sit, and we can't break them down. The cup competition is irrelevant. I thought we had enough balls in the box. It's about moving on quickly. It's not about moving on quickly to the 12,000 people that paid for those tickets in a recession to go to that game, and we just move on quickly. Well, Hutchie and Heathy did the thing this morning when they had their pod, so I had a listen. Hutchie was so blasé. Oh, it is what it is. It is what it is. Made 10 changes. They couldn't recover. We just move on. There's bigger fish to fry. No, you don't pay for tickets, do you, Hutchie? You come along, drink your nice little glass of lager, file 300 to 400 words, do two interviews and go home. You don't spend any money. People are spending money. Why not play Ladapo? Why not give him a run and get him going against the lesser side to get his confidence up? Why change 10? He said after the game, when we had a setback, the players weren't up to speed. The players weren't up to speed to get into the rhythm of the game. So what was the thinking then? Did we just think that we were going to turn up and cruise through? Hutchie said, oh, it was a win at Portman Road for Colchester. And I get it because it's the first time they've won there. But winning at Portman Road is no big deal for anyone anymore. We are a crap mid-table League One side. And it's that arrogance that we have that we think we can make 10 changes and think it's all right. Hindsight's a wonderful thing, 2020, but they got it completely wrong. He should have kept four or five players still in that team and taken them off after half time. And then for us to just be so limp again raises the point that we don't get behind teams and we desperately need a striker. Desperately. Or Ladapo needs a 10-game run to get going. But for me, they got it wrong. The response was poor. The media are blasé about it. I tell you what, if I'd spent 50 quid with my kids going in that game, I'd have been jarred off. It's not good enough. We need to be better in those competitions and we need to try and commit a little bit more to them because we're sick of losing these games. And they got it wrong. And it's McKenna's first big mistake for me and I'm furious about it. And that's me. I'm done. Thank you.
There is a mediocrity. There is a mediocrity amongst town fans, some town fans, where we are blasé about it and we think, oh, it's just another tournament. But Alex is spot on. It's not another tournament to most fans, and especially losing to Colchester the way they were acting. And yeah, we were blasé last year when we lost to Newport and we said, oh, it's all right, we'll get going, we create chances. But what happened? We finished 11th, whatever it was.
I didn't like the response. I thought McKenna could have said, it's on me, it's my responsibility. Maybe there were too many changes. Sorry to the 12,000 that have come out tonight, and I'll take it on board. He was like, oh, it wasn't too bad. We didn't respond. They weren't in the rhythm of the game. If they're not professional footballers who can get into a rhythm of a game, then don't pick them. Pick four or five that are in the side that are settled. Give Ladapo a chance to score because Jackson and John Jules and Harper have come away with no boost in confidence whatsoever. If anything, that's worked against them. And how can you expect John Jules and Jackson to go and score goals in front of eight players that haven't played together before? What's the expectation there? It was a joke. Sorry, I'm done.
That's fine, Alex. I was bracing myself for a rant for tonight because, yeah, it wasn't a good performance, getting knocked out. And, yeah, I'm always annoyed with rotation because you want that winning mentality. You know, that what, team 10? Just won against Forest Green. 10 is just, yeah, that's the running theme in this competition. Get ready, Alex, for Hutchie to drop in your DMs if he's listening to this. but we shall see. But, Steve, your thoughts on what Alex just said and bounce off for everyone else, George, get involved as well. Talk about rotation, talk about, you know, all things League Cup because, yeah, it's the same old story in this competition.
Yeah, I think what Alex has demonstrated is that as town fans, we're pretty sick of constantly failing in the cups. And, you know, chances are if we'd beaten Colchester and then got through to play a Premier League team, we would have lost, but at least we would have had a big day out or a big night at Portman Road. I suppose, playing devil's advocate, if we looked through all the teams that played last night, the night before, 95% of them would have made a load of changes. It's just what people do in the League Cup. My issue with that game really is that I look at that team and I'm concerned that it couldn't beat Colchester. No, I wasn't there. I listened to it on the radio. It sounded like we had all the ball. But it concerns me a bit that players like Edwards, Jackson aren't really taking their chances when they come along. And then Rakeem Harper. The thing about the pass that led to their goal is, if someone tries an ambitious ball upfield and it gets cut out by the other team, you think, well, that's annoying, but at least I can see what you were trying to do. You were trying to get a man in or get inside the fullback. I can't work out what he was trying to do.
Yeah, they're sticking to your principles and they're being stupid. And that's what he was doing. It's all right playing from the back. Stick to your principle. I'm all for it. But don't be stupid. And that's what he was. And that's the reason we're out of the competition. So,
but it didn't even feel like he was trying to play out from the back. It was almost like he'd got a bet on Colchester winning.
Yeah.
You would never play that ball in any circumstance, even if you were, you know, a Pep Guardiola team. So, I mean, it's different circumstances every year. So I was at Old Trafford when we played Man United and Mick basically put out our reserves. And we were all in the concourse and we saw the teams come up. We were like, oh, man alive, we're going to get hammered. And we couldn't believe what he'd done. I didn't feel that when I saw the team on Tuesday. I thought, well, that's too many changes for me, but that team should still be Colchester. And I think there's some players on the fringe of the first team squad there that need to realise, they need to back their ideas up. I really like Carl Edwards, but I'm still waiting for him to fire properly. You know, a couple of nutmegs and some Cruyff turns in the game now and then isn't good enough.
He's living off Cheltenham away at the moment, isn't he? Carl Edwards. I thought it was exceptional that game, but he's just not there.
See, I don't think that it's counterproductive to put all those players in a jumble and throw them out there and expect them to perform and score and have any fluidity. That's not going to happen. And then when McKenna said after the game that once we went one down, the players didn't have the rhythm or the game time to get us back into it. Well, what were you expecting? You were expecting to turn up and win that game. Or you were arrogant enough to think that it was a good gamble to make 10 changes. And it, hindsight's wonderful, but it didn't work on so many levels for me. It was a really poor night. And the response I didn't like, and I love McKenna and I love all the boys, I love the team. More than anything, 38 years of supporting this team. But I didn't like that response. I didn't like the media going, blah, blah, blah. It's that arrogant Ipswich thing. We are a crap League One mid-table side for 3 years who haven't been near the playoffs. Winning is important. It's a habit. And that was an opportunity for us to go 3 games unbeaten at the start of the season. To me, that was a bigger picture and they should have thought about that.
And you ask any Town fan over the last 20 years, what was their best moment? And it was that Tamás Priskin goal against Arsenal. And what competition was that in? And you want me to go out in round one to Colchester and smile about it?
It's just the response made me angry, that's all. The response, they got it wrong. Hold your hands up and say, right, we'll do it differently next time, you know, or just say, because that was wrong. And within 20 seconds, McKenna said, we've got bigger fish to fry and we're moving on quickly. Not the people who are still in traffic who bought tickets for the game. 12,000 at that game. That's an incredible attendance. I couldn't believe the numbers. I know Colchester bought their lockdown, but then they get to smash up the place and go home and get rowdy at the train station. Really, really grind my gears, that did.
Alex, I'll ask you, how many of those starting 11 would have got into Colchester's team on Tuesday? I would argue all of them.
The majority, without a doubt. You'd have to think so, wouldn't you? I said on the WhatsApp thing, God, looking at the squad, wow, look at the squad where we are. You know, we've got a good squad here, haven't we? He's trying to get 2 players in each position or something close to. And then they played like that, and it wasn't a humble enough response. We need to remember where we are and how tough it is to going to get out of this league. It's going to be tough.
What concerns me more is when he brings on the 4 first-team players and nothing changes either.
Yes, that's the other thing. So he does care. So what if Burns comes on and gets nobbled? Let those 11 sort it out. Or bring on some other fringe players. Don't then throw on Harness and Burns so they could be kicked by Chambers and maybe nobbled.
What does that do for the confidence either? What McKenna was saying after 70 minutes is, you lot aren't good enough, so I'm going to bring on my actual players.
Absolutely. How does that make them feel? What does that do within the squad unit? Not good.
I find it hard to criticise McKenna because I love him, but I agree with everything you said.
I hate saying this. I really do, but it's been bubbling up all day, Ross. So you what?
No. At the end of the day, guys, you know, there's been a lot of positivity going on and off the pitch. And I think we can't just like now shy away because, you know, it's all still happy. Of course, obviously, we're not going to win the League Cup. Like, realistically, it's not going to happen, is it? We're not going to win it. But it's nice to actually progress. As George said, me as a Town fan as well, my only highlight in the last 20 years has been the League Cup semi-final against Arsenal, Tamás Priskin scoring.
Against Cardiff, Joe Piggott scored.
Yeah.
Now that's a big deal for him getting off the mark. And if Ladapo had played, maybe he'd have scored in front of the Portman Road fans. Maybe that gives him strikers run on confidence. Yeah. And it hurts them when they don't score. And it was an opportunity missed for me.
Yeah, I was hoping Freddie Ladapo was going to start and he could score a goal and that's him up and running, but he didn't start and that's a shame.
And there was no reason why he couldn't start. I'm sorry. Yeah. There was no reason why he couldn't start. We're 3 games into the season.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If Sam Morsy was playing on Tuesday, we wouldn't have lost that game.
I was a bit surprised that Sam Morsy wasn't going to start. I thought, you know, he scored a great goal on Saturday and I thought he'd want to be continuing that winning run. I know it's a cup game, it's Colchester League 2 and stuff, but still, you know, an opportunity to still, he wants to play football. I'm sure he wants to play football.
What and I know All players want to play, Ross, and winning is a real habit. Whether it's the Tin Pot Cup or whatever, you start breeding that in players, and it's unrealistic to throw players in and then expect them to go and perform well just when they haven't played together as a side and for 90 minutes. I know it's early. I know it's no big deal, but I just felt the reaction and the response, and it smacks of arrogance to me. And we need to get rid of that double quick. Maybe McKenna's being blinded by the lights. He's on good remuneration. It's a big job. He thinks it's okay to just go out and turn out and play like that. Well, I don't. That was a big game for us, and they got it wrong for me. McKenna got that wrong.
I'd have definitely started the Dapo, but I would have rested Morsy because I was at the Bolton game and I was at Forest game. He is head and shoulders above most of our players and most of the opposition players. So he's the one that has to be wrapped in cotton wool for me.
Absolutely.
I agree that he probably shouldn't have started. I just think that it just showed how, you know, clinical he is to our side, really. I think we're a different team without him in it.
Yeah.
Totally.
Definitely. Well, it's been interesting. Different thoughts, different debates going on in this podcast so far. I hope you've enjoyed, ladies and gentlemen. Let's talk about some sexy stuff now. Let's remove the Colchester game. It happened. We're out of the cup. Not happy. Hopefully we can bounce back on the weekend. But good fortune for you, Alex. You know, I was bracing myself for stuff, and I know you always bring the good goldness here. But let's talk about the sexy stuff, though. Richard Keogh has signed for the football club. 36 years of age. And as a lot of listeners know, if you're over the age of 30, you're getting the bin. But you know what? I like this signing. I actually really like this signing. Experienced player. Really good interview. George, what are your thoughts, first of all, when you saw Richard Keogh was linked and then it got confirmed he's signing for the club?
I've done a full 180 on this transfer, actually. When I first saw him linked, I thought, what was the point? I thought, why is McKenna bringing in somebody that's, I think, older than him or the same age or whatever? I thought, what does that do for Morsy? You know, someone coming in who's older, been a captain, got more experience. Does that cause a bit of a dynamic there? I thought it was a bit of a pointless signing. I thought we don't really need a centre-back, especially when we've got Don Ball that can play there. But as the days sort of went on, and by the time it was confirmed and I'd heard more reasonable arguments, I'm fully on board with it. And, you know, I didn't realise he started his career here. I'm not sure if many people did, or maybe I just don't know. But, he's a bit of a... He's just sort of completes that sort of centre-back puzzle. You know, we don't really have to worry about that. And I think I saw somebody on Twitter say he's like the Sonny Aluko of centre-back. You know, he's just got experience. He's not going to play every week, but he'll do. And yeah, I think, you know what, any other League One side would be happy to have him. So what gives me the right to be annoyed about it? So I wish him all the best. But
indeed,
we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And Alex, you know, we won't go into what happened with a derby, but he's had to bounce back from that situation. And he's, you know, now played for Huddersfield, MK Dons, played a full season championship with Blackpool. Wasn't week in, week out. As you can see, I'm now repping a Blackpool shirt. I'm not. It's just orange, very orange. But Alex, what's your thoughts on this signing as a whole?
Yeah, I think nearly 700 pro games in total, which is an incredible record. Obviously, the car accident incident was highly publicised. Everybody's got an opinion on it, from Simon Jordan to everybody. No one really knows the truth about that. There's a lot of interesting stuff about it. The one big thing I saw was the response from Blackpool supporters, who have all come out en masse and said, thank you so much for everything you've done. You're a diamond. We understand why you're leaving for your BA family. They love him there. And I think that's a really good sign. We talked about having a hairy-arsed centre-back. Is that the phrase that goes around? He's about as hairy-arsed as he's going to get. He's rock hard. He's hard as nails. He's a big, hairy monster. And I love them. It's very interesting. When we have chats on KFA on the WhatsApp group, I don't get involved a lot. I generally just read what everyone else says. Richard Keogh was not a name that was being thrown around by anybody. He's probably the most high-profile player we have, isn't he? It's a big name. Everyone knows who Richard Keogh is in the game. So, yeah, it's fascinating. I think it shows the game changer of backing McKenna. McKenna wants cover. He wants good cover in every position. That's what he's looking for, that strength in depth. I didn't even... Where is Don Ball, by the way? But you're right about Don Ball being able to play centre-backs. That's another option. I forgot about him. We don't have enough nastiness. Steel, I've said this before, fucking yeah. Morsy has it, but we need more of it. Wolfie isn't vocal. Danassi isn't vocal. Burgess certainly wasn't vocal at Forest Green. So that voice is really good off the pitch. cover in each position, positive influence. We've got money. If we can just go and buy a centre-back when essentially he's not even going to walk in the team. I don't get this rumour that Danasian's going to step aside. I don't think that's going to happen. How can it? Danasian's been far too good. I think he's happy with what we've got. But there will be injuries. One of those will be nobbled at some point. And it's great to have that in there. So, yeah, it's definitely not a negative. It was just the huge shock factor. Why are we getting in another centre-back when we need a striker? But there it is. He's here. It's great to have him here. Welcome to him. Hope he does well. Great to have that experience. There's no negative to it. I'm just interested in when he plays. I've got absolutely no idea when's he going to play. And that'll be really interesting to see it when he does. And does he force someone out? Surely Fridge is a given. Danasian to me is a given and Wolfie's a given. Is it for a four? Is it for a three? I don't know. McKenna's got his plan. And welcome to Richard. It's definitely a surprise signing.
It just doesn't feel like a McKenna signing, does it? That's what I think the main
thing. I'm really surprised.
It's a Paul Cook signing, really. That's who we could have got him at the start of last year.
Yeah.
But all the best to him.
Yeah. And as you said, Alex, with injuries happen, don't they? And like Wolfenden pulled out of the Forest Green game because he was ill. And Richard Keogh could have gone right into it. I know Cameron Burgess came in and did really well, but that's going to happen. Illnesses and injuries. So I think that's why he's there. And I think he's going to be fantastic for the dressing room. And I think we don't have many leaders like him in the dressing room. Really, you know, we've got Morsey, we've got other players like that, but not Richard Keogh, who's been around the block. And a great story, as George said, you know, full circle. He was here as a trainee, a ball boy and all that sort of stuff. Coming back to the club where it all began. I know his granddad was a season ticket holder, I think, as well back in the day. But Steve, what's your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, it was interesting the way it came out of the blue. As you know, there's a lot of in-the-know Twitter accounts and stuff, and no one saw it coming. Like the others have said, I don't see a downside. He was playing in the division above last season and seems to have done very well. Probably still got another couple of good years left in him. I don't know where he fits in at the moment, but it will be interesting to see. The only thing I'd say is that I thought Cameron Burgess did really well at Forest Green in the air. In the air, he was brilliant, and he should be because he's an absolute unit. On the ground, slightly suspect. He probably should have got a red card late on. And that chance came up, it was just a hopeful ball forward, really. So he can probably learn off someone like Keogh, because I think Cameron Burgess can be a very good player, will be a very good player for us, but perhaps learning off someone like Keogh, who's been around the block a few times, might help. But yeah, be interesting to see when he will play. We obviously haven't signed him to play in the League Cup. That's the one thing we can say.
No, of course.
And I felt a bit sorry for him as well, in that his unveiling and all the social media stuff was the day after the Colchester game, when we're all still cross about that. And the Colchester game showed that we need a striker, but that's not his fault, because presumably that transfer had been going on for a few days. It's just bad timing.
I think the good thing is it was sort of like linked, it was rumoured or reported. I think the Blackpool Gazette and then Andy reported it. So it's sort of like we knew it was probably going to happen. And yeah, they released it on the day. I'm sure they did the pictures on the Tuesday afternoon. And then they're hoping, oh, nice win on Tuesday against Colchester. But nope. It wasn't the case. There we go. Richard Keogh, the seventh signing of the summer. Well, boys, let's add some nonsense to this podcast. We have a lot of great chat. So it's time for the strike. A chance for you guys to battle head-to-head to be crowned the strike champion this week. George making his debut. How's he going to get on? Good old Alex and Steve. We have four questions plus a tiebreaker if needed. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, play at home. Always good to get you involved and let us know how you get on. So question one, boys. Let me get my answers up. And hopefully I haven't put the correct answer in the question. Just going to double check quickly. I have done it once on one of them. So I'm just going to quickly remove the commas. There we go. That's always good to check that, because that would have been a very rookie move. And as you very much know, I do that a lot. Anyway, question one is on Richard Keogh, the man we've been talking about. Good old Richard Keogh. Now, we all want to know this, don't we? We all want to know his middle name. What is his middle name then, boys? Is it David, John or William? As you can see, I've gone very British, very old British names there, because he has got a very old British middle name, a very common British name. As his middle name, but is it David, John or William? Try to read it out. Richard, David Keogh, Richard, John Keogh, Richard, William Keogh. What sounds better? Okay then, George, what do you reckon?
You know, absolutely no idea. He plays for Ireland, doesn't he?
Yes.
And I don't know. I'll put David down, but yeah, no idea.
Alex?
William,
okay. Steve?
No idea.
Oh, we've got a full house here. We've got a full house of different ones. Before we actually announce it, my middle name is David. What's your middle name, George?
I have two, Albert and Charlie. But I'm not a posh boy. It just makes me sound like one.
Yeah. Alex, what's yours?
Justin, as in Timberlake.
Yes, yes, definitely Justin Timberlake. And then Steve?
Don't have one.
Doesn't have one? Interesting.
I'm one of five kids. I think my parents could be bothered to think of middle names.
Fair enough. Yeah, it's like, yeah, we've got enough kids to try to think of the first name. First of all, middle name is just, yeah, it's just a bonus if we fancy it. Okay, then. The correct answer is John.
John. I knew it was John.
Richard John Keogh. Yeah, good old John. So, Steve has taken the lead early doors. And the next question is on a man who celebrated his birthday this week, and it's good old Pablo Canargo. Ole, 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 Pablo. How many goals did he score for Town in 243 games? Closest to the correct answer gets the point. Can Steve make it 2-0, or is George and Axe going to get back in the game? So 243 games in total, of course, two different spells. Of course, the Coventry late winner always lives in the memory. Of course, he's got some other great goals as well. Back heel as well, yeah. And he also scored a good goal against Portsmouth as well. Very good goal that was. As Steve is taking the lead at the moment, let's go to you, Steve. How many goals do you reckon?
I said 44.
44, okay. Alex?
I said more. I said 78.
78, okay. George?
63.
Ooh, now someone is very close. And as I said, I didn't say actually, if you get it bang on, you get 2 points. And George is the closest. It's 61.
Ooh.
61 goals. So you're close to get the double points there. So it is George 1, Steve 1. Mm-hmm. Alex, still early doors, mate. Still got another question here. And the next question is on MK Dons, and it's on Macaulay Bond's goal, the opening goal against them last season at Portman Road. What a goal that was. Now, who set him up for that goal? Was it Scott Fraser, remember him? Kane Vincent Young or Wesley Burns, who set him up for that goal? That was a great, great finish from Macaulay on that day. Of course, it ended in a 2-2 draw. Oh, George now just remembered it. He was watching it back in his head. There we go. Oh, George, who do you reckon?
It's Kane Vincent Young.
Okay, Alex?
KVY.
A1's gone KVY. Of course it was KVY. What a ball it was. Great touch from Macaulay. And then boom, in the back of the net. What a goal that was. Definitely, I know Burson Salinas' goal was very good. But in terms of just the whole situation, it was a great finish and great goal. So it's 2-2-1. Question 4 is coming up now. And Alex, you need to get it right to then go to a tiebreak. If you don't, and if the other guys get it right as well, then... Well, we may need a tiebreaker. Now, Louis Barry, remember him? He's now at MK Dons. He was here briefly last season and then got sent back to Aston Villa and then went on loan to Swindon and got into the playoffs. But they lost in the playoffs, of course. But now, what shirt number did he wear during his time at Town? Was it 12, 18 or 22? Of course, the shirt numbers fans will know that bang on. George looks like he's confident. He's writing it down very quickly there. Alex, just have a little think. But it's fine, mate. It's fine. He was here briefly, mate.
Hopes for him. I had a Villa fan telling me how lucky we were to have him.
Yeah, but I'm sure he's a decent little footballer. It just didn't work out. I think at the time we just didn't need him because we had other players in that position. But there we go. Okay then. Well, Alex, what do you reckon? 12, 18 or 22? 22. George?
Yeah, 12. 18, well, Macaulay Barn, and 22 was Toto Nciala, I think. I'm an Andy Warren super fan, so I have to get that.
Well done. Yeah, very good.
There we go. So, yes, it is 12. So, we have to go to a tiebreaker. Alex, still play at home, my friend. Still play. But Steve and George will go head to head. Alex, if you get a bang on, you can actually take the crown. But George and Steve, if you get closest, you actually win. And if you get a bang on, then you win overall. But it is Steve versus George going head-to-head. But Alex, if you get a bang on, you do win it. Now, this man celebrates his birthday very soon. So I thought, We've got to do a question on it. And it's David Johnson. David Johnson. Now, how many goals did he score for Town in 152 games? Now, it's the second David Johnson, of course, the one in the 90s, 2000 team, not the 70s, 80s David Johnson. I think he's mainly called Dave. I think they mainly called him Dave Johnson. Of course, David Johnson, part of the promotion winning team and all that jazz, blue hair and everything. But how many goals did he score? 152 games. How many goals? Alex, we'll start with you. Let's see if you can get it bang on. I won't, of course, let you know that you got it bang on until George and Steve told me, because just in case they go, yeah, I said that too.
I just want to say DJ was one of my favourite players. I absolutely loved him. At Wembley, he got injured. Oh, what a player. Yeah, 86.
Definitely. How much was that, sorry?
86.
86. All right, George, Steve? Oh, he's got 86 as well. Okay.
I mean, if I say 86, I can't lose, right?
Very true, very true. But I don't know. I don't know if I can trust you.
A little bit before my time, just about, Ross. Maybe our time. I don't know. I'll say 85.
I like your playing there. I like your playing there. And you're right to play like that because it's 62, don't you?
62.
Oh, so, George, technically, you won, my friend. Well, speech. How does it feel to win the strike on your debut on the podcast?
I mean, a humbling victory. So, congratulations to my other two competitors. I'm just sorry you're just nowhere near as good as me.
I like it. Good talk. Good talk.
Well, another great strike. He scored 62 because didn't he get 30 one season?
No, just 23. I've got his stats up here. So his first season, 22. Second season, 14. Third season, 23. Of course, the playoff season. And then three goals So 22 league goals in the playoff season and then one in the cup.
Because I'm sure there was one season. If you added his cup goals to his league goals, he got 30.
No, 23. Just 23, yeah. I've got.
There we are.
There we go.
Legend, anyway.
Very, very good. Yeah, very good player. Of course, was able to play international football for a lot of countries: Jamaica, England, Scotland, I think Wales. Yeah. I think that's another country actually. Yeah, yes, mate. You get it. I'm sure you got.
We should have when his son was born, the one who plays for Forest. We should have made David Johnson sign something that said he had to play for us because he looks a bright player.
He is unbelievable. Yeah.
I think I remember seeing him score a hat-trick for Nottingham Forest under 23s at Portland Road. And we're like, yeah, he's a player, like father like son. And he's now ripping up playing Premier League football, which is great to see. It makes a lot of us feel old now, seeing players we love watching when we were younger now having their sons playing football. It's just part and parcel of football nowadays, which is great to see. Okay then, lads. Back to league action this weekend. Milton Keynes Dons are in town. Another big crowd expected at Portland Road. I think 22,000 tickets have been sold. George, how are you feeling going into this one? Of course, we are unbeaten in the league. But of course, we're not unbeaten now in terms of all competitions. But we've got 4 points on the board. Looking all right in the league. How are you feeling going into this one?
Do you know, the fact that MK Dons have lost their opening two games makes me confident and the complete opposite at the same time. I can't see MK Dons losing three games in a row, but, I shouldn't get caught up in that. My heart tells me 2-1, but my heart told me 2-1 at home against Bolton last week, so who knows? But we do like a 2-2 or a 0-0 against MK Dons, so... I'll stick with 2-1. I think we'll be all right. MK Dons have lost. I don't think they've lost loads of players, but Harry Darling and Scott Twine were the two standout players last year, I think. And losing both of those can't be easy. And I think they've had a real sort of overhaul of players as well, like we did last year. And we know how long it took us to click. So hopefully it's the same for them and we'll get a win.
Yeah, I was speaking to the... basically MK Dons journalist talking about, for Meet the Oppo series we do. And it sounds like it's very similar to us last summer. A lot of players out, a lot of players in, time to gel and all that sort of stuff. So it is very interesting. And of course, yeah, two defeats in a row. They actually won in the cup, though. They actually beat Sutton United, so they're in the second round. I think they've got Watford away. So, you know, that's what I mean. We could have got a Premier League club. We could have got a nice little trip to a Premier League club, but that wasn't the case. Alex, how are you feeling going to this one, my friend? Liam Manning versus Kieran McKenna, two young coaches going head-to-head once again. Last time, it was like a chess match because both of them play very good football, just couldn't cancel each other out. It was 0-0, but it's going to be very interesting at Portman Road. Big crowd. How are you feeling going into this one?
Yeah, I think if we have any ambitions, I know it's very early, but if we have any ambitions of getting out of this league, we have to beat the sides that are bottom of the table, whether it's MK Dons or whoever it is that's coming to Portman Road. We really need to establish that. I know it's very early. But suddenly, because of that defeat, in a little bit, kind of puts a little bit more pressure on the boys now. And they really do have to go out and win this game. That's very important to just get that momentum going. McKenna will pick pretty much the same team. I don't think there'll be any changes, much change from the Forest Green match. I think he's going to stick with that, and that's good. Huge support there. Again, the elephant in the room is are we short of a striker? I really hope that Darpo scores. They play the game the right way, which will help us. They will come and play the game on the deck on a gorgeously sunny day on that Portman Road pitch. And I think that will help us. The key is not to concede, and the key is a good start. If we can get an early goal, that's really good for us. I think that's a sign in other games. If we score early, teams have to come at us, and it really leaves us open to great counterattacks. Because Wes Burns has not started yet. Wes Burns, sorry to say it, has not played particularly well the first two games. He's looked really sluggish for me. He's a wonderful player and I love him. He's had his moments with some great deliveries, don't get me wrong. But for his standards, he hasn't clicked in yet. But the problem is that teams have worked us out once they go ahead against us. It's not rocket science to defend against us. But I'm hugely positive. I think we'll win, but I think we have to win. I think we have to beat teams like this when they come to Portman Road. And it does take on, it's a big game. You know, it's a really important game for us. And I hope that we continue to see the patterns that were evolving against Bolton and Forest Green. And I just wonder, is there going to be a striker through the door? That's what I'm really fascinated about. But in terms of Saturday, we really have to beat teams at the bottom of the league if we have any ambitions of getting out this year.
Indeed. And yeah, MK Dons, they are a promotion rival, technically, with last season, they're finishing third, of course, losing in the playoffs in the end. But Steve, how are you feeling going into this one, my friend, back at Portman Road? We played Bolton, who are going to be up there as well this year. We got a point against them. But this is going to be an interesting game against two young coaches.
Yeah, I'm optimistic. I don't want to look too far ahead, but we've got two good opportunities here. We've got MK Dons on Saturday and we've got Burton away on Tuesday, both of whom have had poor starts in the league. And I think I'm right in saying Burton got knocked out of the cup as well. So there's a chance for 6 points there and I hope we take it. The one thing I would mention is the heat. I don't know if you were all at the Bolton game or not, but at the final whistle, almost all of their players collapsed onto the pitch, either onto their knees or their haunches. They were absolutely exhausted. And that's because probably the last 20, 25 minutes we'd run them ragged. And it wasn't as hot that day as it will be on Saturday. So if we can keep up our pace of play, keep our press high, and use those five subs well, then I could see us basically outlasting MK Dons just because they haven't got as probably strong a squad depth as we have. So I think the heat will play a big part. It's going to be 30, 35, isn't it?
Yeah. What's your score prediction? What are you going for?
2-0, both Ladapo.
Oh, Ladapo on the score sheet. Yes, please. Alex, I don't know if I heard it right. I was listening to you when you were speaking, but just to clarify your prediction again.
I'm sticking with 2-1. I've said that for every game. No, I didn't. I said, what did I say for Forest Green? I can't remember. Yeah, 2-1.
2-1. I like that. Now, I want to quickly just talk about pre-match. We've done this before on the fan social, but we've got new guys now. I want to see if you do anything differently for a pre-match. And we actually got a message in from John Mickle Wright. I think that's how you say it. I'm sorry, John, if I said it wrong. I hope you are listening. And he's actually bringing his young family down, his wife, from Dorset to the MK Dons game. Their first visit back to Portman Road for 18 years. 18 years! I was 8 years old the last time he was at Portman Road. Sorry, John, to make you feel old. But yeah, he said, other than the fan zone, any suggestions for young supporters on the day? Max 6, his son is 6, called Max, and Imogen, his daughter, 4. So, George, I'm sure you probably won't be that age. I'm sure you'll be in a pub somewhere. But just some advice for John, just in case you have any family, friends who could go to the fans, anything else, some advice for away day or for fans coming back to Portman Road for the first time in ages?
Do you know what? Just quickly going back to Forest Green, it is all relevant. It makes me realise how lucky away fans are when they come to Ipswich, you know, because they get off the train and there's so much to do. All the pubs, everything. As soon as you step out of the train station, you can see the ground. So I would say to John, just get into the town, get in amongst it. You know, it's great. I love the pre-match atmosphere and just everyone's sort of buzzing to get into the ground. I wouldn't know what to do with a young child because but yeah, just get in town and I think town fans are very friendly for the most part. So yeah, have some conversations, meet some new people, and I'm sure they'll all be interested to hear that you're back for the first time in however long. So yeah, get involved.
Yeah, like the fan zone is amazing in terms of young kids. There's loads of activities going on. Of course, it is a hot day, so make sure sun cream, hydration, all that sort of stuff. But yeah, as you said, if you get coming from the train, you got every, you know, town is right there. You got Cardinal Park, loads of different restaurants, different things to do. So John, enjoy it with the family, and hopefully it won't be another 18 years since you make your return after the MK Dons game, because 18 years, oof. But you do live in Dorset, that's a long way away. But I hope you do enjoy your day, my friend. And George, just quickly go back to you. What is your pre-match routine, mate? What do you do before a game?
What? I'm in the Greyhound at about 1 o'clock with Carl, who you've had on game day. We've got Billy the Bass, we call him. So it's us. We're there. We get involved. Right. I have steak, pie, with chips and peas. I always get ripped for this, but I have my chips in a separate bowl. I don't like the gravy and chips touching each other. They all say I'm a prima donna. I'm a bit of a princess, but I'd like your opinion on it, really. What do you think? Do you think that makes sense?
It's a free country.
Exactly. Thank you. I'll let them know that.
Yeah. Do you like gravy, though? Do you like gravy?
Well, I do like gravy, but controlled amounts of it, you know? We like to just have the option. And then once I've done that, we're straight down the ground. I usually get in the ground about... only sort of 20 minutes before kickoff. I'm not too worried about watching the warm-ups and, get straight into it.
I like it. Yeah, Greyhound is a big choice. And, of course, the guy who owns it is a big Town fan as well. So he always... And I know, Steve, you're nodding your head straight away. Like, yeah, that's your normal go-to, isn't it, my friend, when you're here? Because it's Southwest at the moment. But when you do get to games, that is where you go.
Yeah, I've been going to the Greyhound before Town games since 1990. I can remember the first game I went down there. As a pub... It was great then, and it's probably, in my opinion, and I live in Bristol, which has a lot of great pubs, it's the best pub in the country, possibly the world. But I love it, yeah. And meet all my friends there. Sorry, was I supposed to go into all my matchday rituals or just that bit?
No, you carry on, mate, carry on. We're intrigued.
I mean, I have a bit of an obsession in that I don't, even if I'm only coming to Suffolk for 24 hours for the game, I have to wake up in Suffolk on the day of the game. I don't like driving over in the morning and then staying the Saturday night, if you see what I mean. There's something about waking up in my home county. Just on going back to the fan zone and the question we had from the reader, the only thing I would say is I went in the fan zone at about 2:30 on the day of the Bolton game. And that wasn't, again, talking about the weather, it wasn't as hot as it will be on Saturday. And there was something about the floor, the AstroTurf, it felt like it was radiating heat upwards towards our feet and ankles and calves. So make sure you've got sun cream on your feet. Something weird was happening. Not on your feet, on your legs. Something weird was happening. And I wouldn't, given what Saturday's going to be like, I wouldn't allocate a whole hour to be standing in there because there's not a lot of shade. But like you say, overall, that is an amazing facility and most clubs would chop a limb off for that. I think it was Alex was talking about the Forest Green fan zone. On the one hand, you don't tend to get a fan zone as an away fan, so that was quite nice. But it was just a marquee with one bench in it, and because it was so hot, the marquee was like the surface of the sun, so no one was going in there. So you know, nice try, but maybe rethink your approach, Forest Green.
Work harder, indeed. So left to you, Alex. What's your pre-match routine? What does Alex do when he comes to Portman Road breathing the atmosphere, all that sort of stuff. I'm sure there's a pint, there's food involved. What do you do?
Well, just talking to your the person who got in contact, I would take the kids straight away to the club shop because it gets very busy. I'd get them upstairs and then I'd get them to see the ground. Because the great thing about the club shop, it's one of those rare places where you can walk in upstairs and you can see the ground and everybody warming up and all what's happening. I love that. I love that about the club, the way that you can walk into the club shop and see the ground through that huge window. Get the kids up there early, get them excited and buzzing, and then they're going to want you to spend loads of money in the club shop. But get that, do that first, get them in because it'll get really busy, and then go and do what you've got to do because everything's so close. As for my my rituals, excuse me, I've lived in New Zealand for 14 years. So whenever Ipswich were on live or whatever time it was, there was alcohol involved. I think I was relatively drunk for every Ipswich game I ever saw in New Zealand, no matter what time it was on, because I was always so nervous. Excuse me. What I do know is that I still get incredibly nervous about games. When I wake up and I know there's a game on, I'm always buzzing. It's still the same. The 38 years of supporting this bloody team, it hasn't changed. Now I get to see Bono, U2, Matthew, Matt, Matthias, you know, the man with seven names, hang out at a Greyhound. I love the Greyhound. Get to see all the KOA crew. I have a pint. I enjoy that pint more than I ever enjoy any other pint because I know what it's going to lead to. I love the Greyhound. I think it's a great, great place. So my routines have generally been on the other side of the world. So now I love the idea of catching up with all the crew, all the friends that I've made in the last 18 months through KOA and through yourself, Ross. So the experience has changed a great deal. For a long time, it was on the other side of the world on television. Wherever I could see Ipswich, which wasn't that often, that was always a big event for me. But now it's great to go and still get the same buzz. It doesn't change.
No, it doesn't change from when you're a wee nipper. Steve?
No.
Just going to say, if we were all going in the Greyhound, and there's 27,000 nearly there against Bolton, where's everyone else drinking? Yeah. Are there any other Ipswich pubs?
There are other pubs. Black Horse is one, isn't it? Not that I know.
Yeah, Black Horse. Yeah, Black Horse. I think there's a few, like Liam from Crewe, good old Peachy goes in there.
What's the one next to the bus station?
The Plough.
That used to be a big football pub.
Yeah, I think some people go there. There's loads of pubs in there. There's loads of pubs people go to. George, were you going to say something there, my friend?
No, I was just thinking there's one where ZZ used to be on St Nicholas Street, or next to it. There's one. I think a lot of the North Standers go in. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a Brewer's Arms as well. I think there's Brewer's Arms. I think some people go to. Yeah, there's loads. I think that's one thing as well. I know there's more pubs in Ipswich back in the day, but there's still a lot of good pubs still in Ipswich. I think the Dove as well. The Dove is a good one as well. A lot of people go to. Another pub that's run by Town fans. But John, hope you enjoy your day with your wife, with your kids. It should be a good day. And Alex, good shout about the club shop. John, you probably won't be thanking Alex if the your kids want to buy this shirt, that shirt, all this merchandise. But it's a great opportunity to see the pitch before the players and the fans are in the ground. You can see it. And of course, when it's sunny, it's looking beautiful. Oh. Well, boys, it's been a fantastic podcast. George, Alex, Steve, thanks for joining me. George, before we go, though, any other business, my friend?
The only thing I did want to say, when Alex mentioned Don Ball earlier, that injury really concerns me. When you get a manager to say, oh, he's just got a little ankle niggle, this week's coming a bit too soon for him. And then all of a sudden, next week's too soon for him. And then the weeks just tick by and tick by. How many times did we hear it with Teddy Bishop, Emir Hughes? The list goes on. They've got a little ankle niggle and then they're out for the season. So let's just hope that one isn't as bad as we think, because I think he could really add a lot to the team. But that's what I wanted to say.
Nah, good shout, mate. It's a good shout. You always worry about those. Yeah, because Don Ball, I was excited. You know, pre-season, a unit, impressed me. Opening day of season, yeah. Oh, he's injured. Oh, that's sad times. We haven't seen him since, but hopefully he's back at some point. Please, Don, please. But thanks, George. It's been a pleasure. Alex, any other business, my friend? Thank you.
Yeah, desperate to see Don Ball. Really desperate. He's my kind of player. Sitting in front, nasty, whatever he does. Love to see him. Can't wait to see him. And is there a striker coming in? Because if there isn't, we need to give Ladapo a run, trust him, and let him play the next half a dozen games. But yeah, great to be back. Thanks for having us, Ross.
Top man as always. And Steve, over to you. You've got a chance now to wrap up the show in style. Any other business?
I do have one bit of business, actually. I said earlier how Sam Morsey is head and shoulders above most of our rest of our players, if not all of them, and probably will be above most of other players in the division. But when someone's that good, they deserve a good song. And he hasn't got a song, has he? We've got ones for Chaplin, for Burns.
Technically, he has got a song, but it doesn't really
I heard one at Forest Green being tried. I don't know if it was the Blue Action Boys or someone else. It was kind of one of those fast, clappy ones that had probably too many words in it because we're all simpletons, aren't we? But yeah, well, I love Blue Action. And when my wife's not looking, I'll donate money to them so they can buy some more flags and stuff. But yes, someone needs to come up with like a proper, decent anthem we can all belt out for Sam Morsey.
He's got the You to Me Are Everything one, isn't he?
Yeah, why hasn't that caught on?
I haven't heard it. Ross will give you a demonstration.
I didn't hear what you say. What did you say?
You to Me Are Everything. My very own Egyptian king, Sam Morsey. That one.
You done it, mate. Yeah. Carry on with it. Yeah.
No, that's all right.
You to me are everything.
My very own Egyptian king, Sam Morsey. Yeah.
Yeah, you like that.
Alex has absolutely nailed that.
Yes,
that was
and
good.
All we need to do is sing that on repeat. People were getting flustered about it when it was on Twitter suggested, like, oh, what's the second bit? You don't need a second bit, just sing that over and over again. Yeah. We'll all think of another song and move on to it anyway in a minute. So,
yeah, definitely. But now, I hope that catches on. Listeners, get involved, do it at the game on Saturday at Portland Road. Bring it on. Sam Morsey deserves a song because he's an absolute beautiful footballer. And it's been a fantastic show. George, Alex, Steve, thanks for joining me. Thanks, everyone, for listening. As always, subscribe to us on Kings of Anglia on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and all that sort of stuff. Of course, follow the game with us, with Stu and Andy and myself, Game Day, online, all that sort of stuff, in the papers the next Monday. As always, as well, leave a review if you haven't already. Always like a 5-star review. 5-star, 5-star. We're back with much more content through the week and all that sort of stuff. Thanks again for listening. Bye-bye for now.
From true crime to football, Brexit to football. For more great podcasts from Archon, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archon.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.